Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Meditate today on our first reading from Habakkuk chapter 1 and 2 in the theme of living by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together today to hear and receive your word. We pray that it would be a blessing to us and that you would use your word through the gift of your Spirit to strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Habakkuk is one of the more obscure prophets in the Old Testament, with one of the more obscure names in the Old Testament. You don't hear of too many Habakkuks getting around these days, do you? But his message of lament over the violence and the injustice that he saw, coupled with his faithful perseverance and his hope for better things on the horizon, make him a very relevant prophet for all people of all places and all times. Commentator Raymond Calkins writes, "There is no Old Testament book that is able to do more for burdened souls or to raise them to higher levels of hope and confidence than the brief prophecy of Habakkuk. Here was a man with a soul sensitive to evil, yet firm in his faith in an omnipotent God." So today I want to pick up some themes from this book of Habakkuk, and particularly the theme of living by faith, because that's the theme that very much runs through all our readings today. And I want to talk about faith as wrestling, faith as waiting, and faith as life-giving. Those 3 points today. Firstly, faith as wrestling. Habakkuk was very much someone who wrestled with God. Boy, did he wrestle with God. If you listen to his words, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you don't save? Why do you make me look at this injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" Habakkuk lived in very troubled times for the people of Israel. They had already been invaded from the north and sort of decimated from the outside, especially the northern kingdom. Now there was just the southern kingdom of Judah, this kind of faithful remnant down there. But Habakkuk was seeing a decimation occurring as well, not just from the outside, but from the inside, internal problems tearing this southern kingdom apart. The corrupt King Jehoiakim had become a tyrant, building grand palaces, using his own citizens as slaves, casting off his critics, permitting violence and allowing God's law to be completely disregarded. Habakkuk had never seen anything like it, never seen anything so deplorable, so painful, as this once faithful remnant was losing its way. Like Job and David and the psalmists before him, he turns to God for help. He pleads his case with the Almighty. This is faith is wrestling. Faith is grappling. We might not often think about faith in those terms, but it's very consistently presented as such throughout Scripture. Faith looks at the problems of the world and its many conflicts and contradictions and turns to God for help. These questions of Habakkuk, why and how long, as Rolf Meyer writes, is as old as the hills and as new as any modern technology. These are the questions of faith. Now, there's all sorts of ways we can respond when we see problems in the world and injustice in the world and violence in the world. And most of our responses tend to be, you know, on the scale where you've got fight on one end and flight on the other. So either we lash out at problems, we attack, or we retreat from problems, or we deny that they even exist. Fight or flight. Now, Habakkuk, when he looks at problems, he refuses to go down either one of those paths. He refuses to lash out in any way, but he also refuses to retreat inward in any way. Instead, he turns upward to God and asks for God's help. It's a great lesson for us. Because we all face problems or questions in our life of faith or injustices or see them around us that rock our faith or rock our faith in humanity, even if it's not our faith in God. And it may be very personal things, it may be more communal things, things we observe. It may be violence, it might be violence done by us or against us, to us. It may involve other people. You know, you see a good friend really struggling, really suffering. That's very hard. You see someone, you know, doing the completely wrong thing with their life and just getting away with it and seeming to flourish. That can be hard. There's all sorts of times in life where we see the curtain of humanity kind of pulled back to reveal a real ugliness. Just thinking about that in the last couple of weeks, as I heard, you know, reports out of AFL clubs about you know, racism, but it's not just racism, sort of these reports about how Indigenous players have been treated and this expectation of them to sort of cut ties with family and break off relationships and terminate pregnancies and all this kind of thing for the sake of what? You know, furthering a football career, winning football games, those sorts of things. You just think it's crazy. Yeah, the ugliness of humanity. Now, of course, the media doesn't help with this, and they tend to like to fan into flame these sorts of reports, but probably any newspaper, any newscast, there's enough to make us think, why? How? What's wrong with us? When will we learn? Habakkuk shows us a positive way to respond to these kinds of things that we see in here, a positive way to wrestle with them, which, like I said, it's not ignoring them. It's not retreating away from them, but it's also not just getting angry about them, which often doesn't seem to help the problem anyway. It's wrestling and lamenting and turning those things into questions for God. Why, God? How long, God? And so that's what Habakkuk does, and then he waits. Faith as waiting. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. This is the watchtower imagery. And I don't think Habakkuk's saying that he was actually one of these watchmen, but he's saying that in his role as a prophet of God and a spokesperson of God, this is how he feels. That he must ask the questions and then stand and watch and wait. This is the part I think we often forget in our life of faith. We might come to God with our problems, we might ask for his help, we might lament things that are going on, but then if God doesn't kind of rush to our aid and sort everything out quickly, we tend to turn, think, oh, I'll try something else now. Prayer didn't work, God didn't seem to work, I'll try something else now. Habakkuk says, no, you turn to God in all earnestness and prayerfulness, and then you wait. You wait. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples about faith, he used this image of the servants waiting for their master to come home. And you know, the whole role was to watch and to wait, and to be patient and to be ready to do their duty. Faith as duty. You imagine if these watchmen of Israel had given up, you know, partway through a shift, partway through the night, or fallen asleep on the job. You imagine the ramifications. You know, they're out there in the middle of the night and they just decide it's a pretty quiet night, nothing's really happening, knock off, go to the pub, whatever it is. What are the ramifications, you know, if the watchman leaves that post? Habakkuk is called to wait and takes his task to wait very seriously. It's a calling to hang in there with God and to hang in there with God's people, even when things look pretty grim. And so too in our life of faith, we are reminded in the Psalms again, but right throughout Scripture again and again and again, that good things and godly things come to those who wait. It's also a key part of God's response to Habakkuk. First, he assures him that he is dealing with a problem. He is dealing with the problem, raising up this power from the north, who he will allow to come south and invade not just the northern kingdom, but right into the southern kingdom, right into Judah. Now, Habakkuk, as you could understand, is not overly impressed with that response. But God's ways are not our ways. And perhaps Habakkuk doesn't fully understand the depth of the problem, nor what is required to overcome it. God says to him, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. In other words, this is critical. This is so significant. This is so important. It must be shared. Make it clear, make it plain, make it simple, make it straightforward, make it obvious. It's like when you drive, you know, down the street and you see a billboard. You know, just a clear, big message that someone wants to get across. That's what God says to Habakkuk. Make this clear to the people. As he goes on to tell him what his response is to Habakkuk's questions. For the revelation, he says, awaits an appointed time. Not Habakkuk's time, but God's time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Though it linger, wait for it. It's a really beautiful word of encouragement. To Habakkuk and to all of us who might wait for God's answers or God's resolutions to our problems. Though it linger, wait for it. Wonder what you're waiting for at this time. You know, that help from God, that healing that you've asked for, that problem to be overcome, that relationship to be restored, that sin to be forgiven, that circumstance to change, that softening of a person's heart, that opportunity to say to someone what needs to be said. Though it linger, wait for it. Don't give up. Stand watch. Stand on the tower. Like Habakkuk, God's answers can seem a long time coming, but that doesn't mean they're not coming. One early church commentator writes, if in all of this there is sorrow to be borne, I trust in the Lord that it will not be without its use to you. Therefore, the more have been your trials, look for a more perfect reward from your judge. Do not take your present trouble ill and do not lose hope. Faith as waiting. Finally, faith as life-giving. God assures Habakkuk towards the end here that this invasion from the north is only an initial response to this problem. That the Chaldeans who would come down and do exactly what God said they would do would rise and they would fall. Like every world power, they would come and they would go. Like Rome, like Russia, like East, like West, like every world power that is focused on human achievement and violence, they come and they go. See, he says, the enemy is puffed up and his desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. This little phrase, only three words in Hebrew, the righteous will live by faith. It's the center of Habakkuk. It's the center of his whole prophecy. It becomes critical in Paul's writing. Martin Luther picks up on it in the Reformation. Becomes highly significant there. The righteous will live by faith. The point here is that faith in God is life-giving and life-affirming and life-enriching. The only alternative is faith in ourselves. Faith in human power, faith in human achievement, faith in humanity, which lets us down. But faith in God does not let us down. It brings security, it brings strength, it puts us right with Him, it brings peace, even if we have to wrestle, even if we have to wait. God stands as the watchman over our lives. And God sends us his son Jesus, who himself suffered at the hands of brutal human powers for our sake. And so through him, God comes to our aid now. God forgives our sin now. God offers us eternal life that begins now. And so God's gifts are today as well as in the future. At the end of the book of Habakkuk, and it's only three short chapters, so I'd encourage you to have a look at it sometime. As God details this, you know, destruction that he's going to bring on the land, makes hard reading at points, but it's interesting. Habakkuk says towards the very end, by faith, though the fig tree does not bud, And though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour, for the Sovereign Lord is my strength. May He be yours too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us in all its richness. We thank You for these ancient Old Testament prophets and the things they went through and experienced with You as their Lord. We thank You for their example of honest wrestling and grappling with the things of the faith, the big questions we have, the injustices we see. We pray that You would help us like them to wait on You, to watch with You, to be patient in our life of faith, to stick it out, to hang in there, so that we might in time receive Your wonderful life-giving, life-affirming, life-enriching gifts to us. Lord, help us as Your righteous people to live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.